I am free to dance. I am free. Amen. There's so many needs that exist within the body of Christ and outside of the body of Christ. But how many know that God is a way maker? Well, how many know God is a way maker? When man says impossible, God said, bring it to me, because to with God nothing is impossible. He said, all things are possible unto you if only believe. Amen. So tonight it's all about believing and trusting God and knowing that ultimately God is in charge. How many know that God is in charge? Amen. How many know tonight that there's nothing that exists to happen in any of our lives that catches God unaware? Amen. Because he knows the end from the beginning. Amen. So tonight we bless the Lord and we thank God in spite of it all. The Bible said, in all things we ought to do what? Come on, all right, that's half y'all. All right, with me, y'all, we got a y'all a little stupid. The Bible said, all things we ought to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Amen. So tonight, whatever we may be experiencing, let's count it all joy. James said, count it all joy when you fall into what? Not in temptation, knowing this is the trial of your faith, working. Amen. That's a problem. A lot of times we don't want patience. But the scripture says, let patience have his perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So tonight, our heart's desire, Lord, is just have thine own way. Lord, even if we don't understand, take our circumstances and use them as an instrument to teach us. Whatever we're going through tonight, say, Lord, take it and use it to teach me. But what do we want it to teach us? To do his will. That's the most important thing. So we thank God. We thank God tonight for my wife. We thank God for all of you. We thank God for being faithful. How many know God's faithful? Yes. There's a lot of things that we say about God, but we don't say it from the depths of our soul or heart. But we say it out of habit. Amen. We see it out of cliche. But how many really know God is faithful? And he says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, because God is faithful, he will never put more on you than you're able to what? Bear. But he will with whatever the test is, God will make a way to escape that you might be able to. Now he didn't say you make a way to escape. Who makes a way to escape? God will make a way to escape that you can. That means you can handle. Amen. Because of God's grace. So tonight we thank God for that. And tonight we're going to continue a thought that we went over a couple weeks ago by the help of the Lord with God's will. Amen. And as I in my short time make preparations. Amen. In my short time make preparation. What the Lord showed me is not just his will, but the knowledge of his will. All right, so tonight we're not going to just do it with his will, because how many know everybody always talks about being the will of God? But tonight we're going to deal with the knowledge of his will. So with that being said, let us stand and we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. And once again, we're dealing with the knowledge of his will. Amen. God is such a good God. We're going to read verses 2 through 10 of Colossians chapter 1. Now, we're not just talking about his will, but what? The knowledge of it. Some, everybody say, I mean his will. But we're going to explain that his will is completely separate from the knowledge of his will. Amen? So, verse 2 reads, to the and so he's not writing to the world, right? He's writing to who? To the church, because the church are the saints and the faithful brethren. He's not walking to those that are half-stepping. He's not talking to those that are professing one way but walking another. But he calls them the what? Faithful brethren in Christ, which were at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when you write to the saints and the what? They've been baptized, but they're what? Faithful. Amen. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always with you. Since we heard of your, Lord, if I don't do anything, don't let me lose my faith. Faith in Christ and of the love which you have to everybody, to all saints. For the hope which is laid up for you, that's where we want to go, heaven. Where we've heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruits, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God and truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease. You know, don't stop praying for me. You know, whatever is going on, don't stop praying. We are to pray one for another, and to desire that you might be filled with not just his will. You know, he says, well, why did he say his will? Because we're going over a little later, we explain what is the knowledge of his will, right? And what kind of understanding? Not just understanding. So Paul is bringing out something about God's will for our lives, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and so he talks about the knowledge of God's will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and he said that you need to increase in the knowledge of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said, and you may be seated. Amen. So we find Paul is writing here to the church of Colossae and the Colossians church. He's not writing to sinners. He's not writing to those that need regeneration or those that have not been saved. But he's writing to what he called the saints and the what kind of brethren? He said they are faithful. Amen. And we're going to read in first chapter of Ephesians. He repeats some of the similar characteristics, spiritual qualities and characteristics of the church of Colossae to the church of Ephesus. But I just want to, for the sake of time and all the other scriptures we need to go to, let us go down to verse 9. Now he talks about them being faithful, and he said, I heard your testimony. Right? They had a testimony. He said, and all the love that you showed to all the saints. So they're not short in displaying spirituality. They're not short in showing the love of God. But then he drops down in verse 9. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with but they're already saved. He said they're already faithful. And they're already showing love one for another. Why is he praying that they be filled with that's something, right? Well, that word knowledge is the Greek word epinosō, gnosis, which means to be perfect and complete. Right? So there's a part of God's will that's not perfect and is not complete. Well, how do we get in the perfection of God's will? Through his knowledge. So the knowledge of his will is different from his will. There's a whole lot of people in churches that are walking God's will. But the question is, are you walking correctly and precisely? This word knowledge, epignosis in the Greek, means to be precise and perfect. To be correct. Not to be walking in error. So Paul said, listen, even though you're faithful, even though you're a saint, you're showing the love. He said, but I want God to show you something even greater. Amen? He said, his will, now it's just not his will, but in what? Wisdom and understanding. No, he didn't say on the sin. He says what? Spiritual. Are y'all gonna help me? Listen, y'all had a hard day. I can tell you, I had one too. Right? And nevertheless, we're in the house of the Lord today. The Bible says, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. We get the victory through what we say. You know, we used to sing that song, Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. You've been building your kingdom all over this world. Satan, we're going to do what? Come on, don't let Satan's kingdom influence you tonight. Amen. We're in the presence of God. We're in the house of God. We came here not to reflect on what happened before we got here, but we want to reflect on how good God has been. So Paul says that I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, you want sometimes to say, well, why didn't Paul just write his will and understanding? Right? Because he wants to go to a higher height in God. We can't just stay where we are when we first get saved. The Bible says the path of the just is like a what? Shining light that's shining more and more unto the perfect. So Paul is trying to get them to go to a higher height in God. Well, when you get in the knowledge of God's will, it's no longer about you. But now we are seeking God through wisdom and spiritual understanding. And some of y'all might not be messing with Proverbs too much these days, right? Proverbs wore out. Proverbs ain't never wear out. I've been reading Proverbs in 1976 when I was in the Bible Bowl and knew most of those chapters by heart. And guess what? Every time I read it, I get something new. But Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right. So in order for you to get wisdom, you have to have a reverence for God. Now, there's a whole lot of people in church, but they don't have a reverence for God. Because a reverence for God means I'm the same in church and out of church. I'm the same with my family and without my family. Because I reverence God. That's a fear of God. That's an awe of God. That's a knowledge of God. So in order for you to have wisdom, you have to have first a fear of God. Not afraid, but a reverence. Knowing that God occupies all the space. So he said, one time it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So how do you have knowledge to do God's will in wisdom and spiritual understanding if you don't have reverence for God? So it's a whole lot of people say, yeah, I'm saved, I'm this, and I'm walking in God's will, but their life is not in line with God's word. Amen. If I had time, I would go to that, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stay on course. So tonight, we're dealing with the knowledge of his will. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 reads, can you pull that one up, Shaira? I'm going to give it to you. But Romans, verse 1, now we're talking about the knowledge of God's what? Will. This word knowledge means precisely and correctly. Not according to what I think, but according to what God thinks. And then the 10th verse says the knowledge increasing in the knowledge of God. So all this knowledge means there's more of God to learn. Amen. I don't care how long we've been saved, there's always more of God to learn. Whenever someone gets to the point that they feel like I got all of God, you're making a mistake. Amen. Because there's always more of God. Because the path of life, like a path of justice, is a shining light. It shines what? More. God never wants us to get complacent where we are. So he writes in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, unsaved. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a, wait a minute, a sacrifice is supposed to be what? Dead. Right? And all sacrifices were dead. So all I said, listen, I want you to present your bodies a living. In other words, I don't want you to present your will and what you want, but I want you to die out to self. I want you to die out to your own purposes. Amen. Now we know that you can't serve God if you're dead, right? Proverbs writes, he said, who can serve God from the grave. Amen. So he said that if you really love God, I want you to present your bodies a
living sacrifice.
You mean I'm alive and I'm supposed to present myself as dead, not dead to living, but dead to self. John said, Paul said, I die to him. Right? John said, he must increase and I must decrease. So what he's saying is, I got to present my body as a living. It's not what I want. It's not about my desire. But I need to be filled with the knowledge of his will, or wisdom and spiritual understanding, so I can increase in the knowledge of God. But he said, present your body as a living sacrifice. And the first thing is, shall see the Lord. So a lot of people say holy roller. You know what? I'd rather be a holy roller and pleasing God. Right? Than just trying to blend in and mix in with everybody else and don't stand out. I'd rather be all for God than nothing for the world. That's just my desire. I want to be all for God. If I don't ever get a place in the world, I just want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So to be a living sacrifice, you have to first discern that. This word holy means to be pure and without sin, holy and acceptable unto your brothers and sisters, holy and acceptable unto your husband or wife, holy and acceptable unto your friends, holy and acceptable unto who? God. And then after you do it, don't think you've done something, because that's just your reasonable service. He said, now, if I want to add more clarity to presenting your body as a living sacrifice, you want to be a living sacrifice. Because when you say, I want to be a living sacrifice, that means I want to be acceptable unto God. He said, well, how do I present myself a living sacrifice? How do I present myself to be holy? Be not conformed to this world. Right? And we went over this some years ago, this word conformed comes from the Greek words schematizo, from which we get our English word schematic. So he said, don't follow the schematic of the world. Well, I want to be a living sacrifice. Well, you cannot be a living sacrifice if you act like the world. That's what it means. Right? Because if being a living sacrifice, I'm saying, is no longer about me, but it's all now about Jesus. So then as I present myself a living sacrifice, I'm increasing in the knowledge of his will. Are you all with me?
Amen.
Amen. So I say that you can't do it by following that same schematic that you got followed when you got in the world. The schematizo. You can't no longer conform to that, but you must be transformed by the renewing. It starts in the mind. You cannot know God's perfect will and knowledge if your mind is where it was when before you got saved. So a lot of people come to church saved, but they still think and act like, well, Paul said you cannot be conformed. If you're going to conform to the world, then you're not a living sacrifice. If you're not a living sacrifice, then you're not acceptable unto God. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may what? Somebody said, well, I don't have to prove anything. Yes, you do.
Right.
You ever have people say, oh, I got God down in my heart. I don't have to prove nothing. So yes, you do. That you may prove what is God's
good,
acceptable, and so you mean God has different wills? Yes. So when you first got saved, you're in his good will. Amen. Then as you begin to walk in his light, you're in his acceptable will. Then when you completely die to self, you begin in his perfect will. That's the knowledge of his will in wisdom and spiritual understanding. So you cannot be filled with the knowledge of his will if you ain't got the world out of you. Amen? The knowledge of his will. Well, how do I get this knowledge of his will? Be ye not conformed to this. The world has left such an impact on us for years. Amen. You know what happens to us most of the time when we get shaky and don't know what to do? Out of fear, we fall back to our old habits, right? Our old way of thinking. How can a child of God that's been washed of their sins and have a fresh start go back to the former things? Right? We're not supposed to be conformed to this. And this is something that we individually have to make that decision. I can't do it for you. Amen. The Bible says God was pleased with those in the Old Testament because they offered willingly. If you don't give to God willingly, you know, a lot of times we do things because it's right, but we don't do it willingly. You know, somebody say, I want to do it because it's right. You make all this stuff. I don't do it, you know, if I really had my way. You ain't died out. Because if you died out, it's not all about what I want. But it's all about God. So how do you get saved? You walk with God, and then when somebody looks at you, they say, hey, I want to see God. Because listen, the Bible says the church is the what? Light of the world. We're the light of the world. Now, in spirituality, the church is light. The world is darkness. So we are the light of the world because we're in Christ. So since we're the light of the world is not supposed to be even, the darkness is not supposed to be able to comprehend us. Because we outshine. All right, go to 1 John chapter 1. No, not 1 John, St. John chapter 1. Let me show you this. We are the what? Now we're talking about being in the knowledge of God's will. Amen. The knowledge of His will and all wisdom and what kind of understanding? The reason we come to church is not just to get understanding, but we want to get what kind of understanding? Spiritual understanding. Because spiritual understanding helps us to conform to the image of God. Not the image of the world. Alright, so the world is not supposed to be able to comprehend us because we have been changed. Anybody been changed? Come on, anybody really been changed? It says, verse 4, talking about Jesus, in him was life. When we got saved, we got mad in him. When we got saved, we got in Christ. In him was, and his life was the. So when we go amongst the unsaved, we're still supposed to be light. We don't turn it on, and we don't turn it off. Oh, I got to take these off. I forgot the new rule. Walk. Alright. Yeah, y'all gotta act up sometimes. You just be wrong. Amen. The verse 5 said, and the light shine in. So now we in Christ, we in light. We are the light of the world, and the light shine in. And the darkness. You can take the smallest light, go out in the blackest part of the earth of night. And that light is still going to. Well, we are the light of the world. The world is not supposed to comprehend us. That means the world don't close us out or shut us out because we are His light. Well, how do I become the light of the world? I walk in the knowledge of His will. In wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. But in all knowledge of His will and spiritual. Right? So you got to have understanding. Well, how do I get understanding? A lot of people say, I can just sit home, I can read the Bible. You know, people say they can read the Bible, I can read the Bible for myself. I'm just saying, you know, you know what I mean? I'll be in my own little world. No, I can't. You ever heard people say that? I don't need nobody to tell me. I can read the Bible for myself. Paul said, well, how can they hear? Without preaching. How can you preach? Let's not sin. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing. that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believed, people miss that. They didn't just believe on Jesus, but they believed on
Goody, goody, one shoe.
for perfection. We're supposed to work as much as we possibly can to be in the perfection of God's will. Be therefore perfect, even as, which is in heaven is perfect. He said, what is Jesus talking about? How are you going to be perfect like God? You got to strive for perfection. We make up excuses to excuse our imperfection. When God tells us we're supposed to be working towards perfection, because perfection is holiness. And without, a whole lot of people say, I want to be in church, but I don't want to be holy. They can't get to heaven. Because without holiness, the Bible says, what? No man shall see the Lord. Amen. So we want to be holy. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. No charge for that. All right. Y'all can just throw that. Y'all can throw that in your free will offering box. Alright, then we're going to give it the charges for the rest of this. Alright, y'all got to take us money. Alright, Ephesians 5:15 says, see then if you walk circumspect, this word means do not deviate from God's plan for your life. Do not deviate from what God has called you to do. Do not replace God's will with your will. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as the fool that's in his heart. So it said that we're supposed to walk circumspectly, knowing that God sees us, and don't act like the one that said God don't see me. That's the fool. Say, God has not seen me. God doesn't know what I'm doing. Alright? So he said you're supposed to walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise. And doing what? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're supposed to be everything we live. Now listen, I said be heavenly bound and earthly no good. A lot of people on the way to heaven won't do nothing on earth. That ain't what the Bible says. Alright? We're supposed to, heaven should be out on our mind. You say, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. In other words, your mindset has to be of such, I want to do the things that are pleasing to God. See those things which are above. Your mindset, your whole mindset has to change. All right, you have to see those things which are above. All right, let me keep going. Wherefore, be not wise, but understanding what the will of the Lord. So if you don't know God's will for your life, you say you are not wise. So Lord, I'm going to increase in the knowledge of your will. And spiritual, not my will, not what I want. You know, like when they first called me to be pastor of this church, I said, absolutely, positively, no. Absolutely, positively, no. I've been in New York for so long, so my wife kind of twisted my arm a little bit. I'm just going to tell you how you twisted. So I said, oh. My wife, we were staying, I'm explaining. We were staying in New York because her mom was in New York. Because my goal was to go. I got leaving on my mind. That's what I did. Right? No, it was my wife. Right? But I really wanted to leave. But we were only staying here because her mom was here. And when we first, I'm just saying, I'm going to show you how our will has to take a back seat to God's will. Right. So I think at least three people, right? Three different ministers or bishops said, hey, God wants you to start a church. I said, you who? Seriously, no, I'm not into that. I love God, I love church, but I didn't want to pastor. And the one pastor said, well, if you don't start a church, right, all those people that are following you, I said, they're not following me. We got a church we're going to. And the church we go to, we have our own pastor, right? Is this true? I said, we have our own pastor, so they ain't following me. He said, yeah, but they're not following that man up to that church, they're following you. He said, if one of those folks wind up lost, God's going to hold that blood on your hands. I said, wow, that's different. You know? So, now I have to give you a little But I'm just saying, I relinquish my will to God's will. Amen. Me and my wife both, we just wanted to go out and have smaller churches. We had been going, visiting churches. And that was kind of our ministry, was being a help in churches. So these three different ones said it. And then when the one pastor said, well, if one of them sold, one of them lost, God, I'm going to hold that until your hand. That put a different spin because that was no longer about me. But now it's about God's will. Right? So I surrendered all. And then now Paul Harvey said, now, you know the rest of the story, all right? So we're all being in our lives, but understanding what the will of the Lord not was. Not is going to be, but what the will of the Lord
is.
That's right there. A lot of us say, one day God's going to reveal his will. No. If you ask God for the knowledge of his will now, right? So he goes on to say, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in song and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making. If your heart can't make no melody to the Lord, not. See, Paul said, listen, not the facade, right? Because you can do a whole lot on the outside, but the real issue. It's what's in your. So you gotta make melody. This is to be in God's will. You mean I gotta be have some melody when in my heart, right? He goes on to say, giving thanks for always for whatever happened. We're trying to get in the perfection of God's will. So even if I don't like it, I say I gotta give thanks. Amen. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're getting close. Amen. Tonight, we're trying to get out of us. Anybody get tired of seeing you? They asked when the guy was down doing the silversmith, and he was trying to get all those imperfections out of the silver. They said, well, how do you know when all of the perfections are out of the silver? They said, when I see myself, the image of myself or the reflection in the silver. God works on us to remove all our impurities and imperfections so he can see himself in us. As long as we're holding on to us, that's not pleasing to God. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So 1:15 reads, wherefore I also, after I heard of your, now he said this to the Colossians church, and then he said it to the church of what? Ephesus. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love for just some of the saints. You know, sometimes we need to choose. He said, no. Love for what?
All
the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you always in my
prayer.
He said this for the church of Colossae and now for the church of Ephesus. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the
spirit of wisdom
and revelation. Wait a minute. If you say, listen, he's right to who? I've heard of your faith and your love to all saints. Amen. He said, I don't cease to pray for you. Well, he's right to who? The church. Well, how does the church need to be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the in what he expects from us? Perfectly and completely and precisely. He wanted them to be filled with the knowledge of him. Amen. The eyes, isn't that kind of hard to understand? Like you're in church, you're already saved, he give you all these accommodations and give you all of this stuff about how good you are. Then he turns around and says that the eyes of your might be not open. It's a whole difference between being open and being enlightened. Right? Enlightened means God's going to show you something greater. Something beyond what the natural eyes can see. Amen. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of. A lot of times we say, I got to seek God's call. I mean, seek my call. No, you're supposed to seek. seek his call. If we just learn to surrender to ourselves, right, and seek his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's not our calling, but his calling. Well, in order for you to know his calling, the eyes of your understanding has to be enlightened. Well, who enlightens us? God. So that we can walk in perfection as well. We're going to close in 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, we'll close here. The psalmist said, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Many of us in church today, we try to get to God and do God's will, but we don't do it through his word. How can you walk in the light as he's in the light if you won't allow his word to be a lamp and a light? Well, how do I walk in God's will? I walk in his word. If you walk outside of his word, how can you be in God's will? And how can you be in the knowledge of his will as walking precisely and correctly? Alright, so 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll go through this quickly. It says, Simon Peter, a what? First, he didn't say anything about his greatness, but I'm just saying, sir. Amen. If you want to be great, be a servant. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. Amen. And Apostle Jesus Christ said, them that have attained. How many got the same like precious faith? He's writing to us. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. According as his, what is the divine power? It's the Holy Ghost. According as his divine power has given unto us. Wait a minute. Everything that pertains to life, we get it through the Holy Ghost. That's why it's important to have a Holy Ghost. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and. But how are you going to live godly without the Holy Ghost? Right? Godliness, through the knowledge of him that told us the glory and virtue, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the. So what is our desire to have? The what? Divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through. So either it's the divine nature or it's the lust of the world which will corrupt you. So we're seeking his divine nature. Amen. He said that besides his giving, give all your best effort, diligence, everything you have, put to the best of your ability and to your virtue. So in church, we don't stay the same, but we increase. We don't just, what we got, you know, a lot of people got to say, I got faith. Well, to your faith, you're supposed to add virtue, which is spiritual excellence. Not just excellence, but what kind? Spiritual excellence. Well, somebody said, well, what is spiritual excellence? Remember when the woman had the issue of blood? Touched Jesus. He said, wait a minute, somebody touched me. He said, Lord, all these people are touching you. What do you mean somebody touched me? He said, yeah, but I feel that virtue. Right? When you got virtue, there's a change. You don't just change yourself, but you change the life of Jesus. And I perceive that virtue has gone out of my life. So virtue is God's spiritual essence. That brings about a change. As your virtue. Wait, to spiritual essence, you have to add some knowledge. That's doing things according to God's will because we are increasing. Amen. We did not get saved to stay the same. If I have the same spiritual mindset, spirituality today that I had when I got saved in 1976, I have not increased. The church, you're not supposed to be on the same plane now that you were when you first got saved. to knowledge, temperance, which is self-control. We're giving you what it means to increase. Temperance, self-control, and self-control, patience. Patience means when things don't go my way, I don't get mad and change. Patience means to be uncertain. It means to stay the course for God's will. Patience. And to patience, this is all part of increase. But every increase is getting you closer to being like God. Amen. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, so if you allow your life to increase with these things, if these things be in you, now there's a whole, now we know we got the Holy Ghost coming, all this in us. But to abound means to be fruitful and to grow or to spread. He said that if it's in you and it's increasing, they make you that you should not even be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. But if you lack these things, now we're trying to get in perfection of God's will. If you lack these things, he is what? Blind and cannot see. And even worse, he has what? Forgot that he was purged from his old sin. It's all about the knowledge of his will and how many want to increase. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and elections. The old times used to say, you got to have a what kind of salvation? A no-so. What's a no-so salvation? Sure. Somebody said, are you saved? Well, I think so. Huh? We need to go back. You got to start all over. Because you got to be sure, right? You got to be sure. And if you're sure, say, if you do these things, you'll never fall. So in being in the perfection of God's will, I'm increasing. What are you increasing in? All of the things that show the very nature of God. Don't look at nobody in here, but you ever see people that get saved? I mean, I've heard somebody say, well, somebody got saved, wow, you should have stayed in the world. I heard somebody say this is a true story. Somebody got saved, they said, you should have stayed in the world because you were kinder, you were sweeter, you were nicer before you got saved. Then you got saved and you are the most cantankerous. Mean, evil act. You know what he's saying? He said, that's not God's spirit. Because we're supposed to be increasing. Every time somebody sees us, they have to see Christ. Now, how do you know we have some bad days? No, we have bad days. But they should be every day. Every day ought not to be a bad day because we are the light. All right, that's good. Let us all stand. So tonight our greatest desire is we want to increase in the knowledge of God's will. Once again, knowledge means to be complete or to be precise. Paul also says it's a walk circumspectly. Meaning, if you know God has something that he's called you to do, you're not supposed to deviate. You're not supposed to go on a detour. You know, a few months ago they had Campbell Avenue right here closed. So in order to get from this part of Campbell Avenue down to Mill Street or whatever that street is, you had to go on a detour. Everybody's got masks. I got to go all the way around here. Remember when the road was down here? Not too long ago? You had to go all the way up, all the way around. That was not circumspect, because you want a detour. God doesn't want us to go on spiritual detours. He just wants us to walk in what he's called us to do, which is the knowledge of his will, evangelists firstly.